Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. When you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking about? Be mindful of Proverbs 23:7.
In the New King James Version, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he."
We decide how and what we think about, and our thinking habits make up who we are and the kind of day we're going to have.
That's right.
You know, we decide that. Now, you can wake up and you can, if you set the coffee the night before, you can smell it or be thinking about coffee, or, you know, you can be thinking about what you got to do or getting the kids ready. But really, there needs to be a time of preparation, spiritual preparation for the day and what you're thinking about. Because as we said, what you think about
is what you bring about.
It's what you bring about during the course of your day. You ever wonder what people who are successful in life, winners, solid Christians think about? Here are seven things that you should think about today, tomorrow, and every other day if you're seeking to have a winner mentality. It's also a great way to have the best day possible.
Amen.
We talked about the best day this morning on
Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Number one, wisdom. One of our favorite scriptures, and of course it's a favorite our wisdom mentor and dear friend, Dr. Mike Murdoch, Proverbs 4:7 Amplified Bible. Beginning of wisdom is wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you have gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation.
Amen.
If you want to be a winner in life or successful, then you need to have an insatiable desire for wisdom. If you want wisdom, you got to want it more than your favorite television show or surfing the internet. You got to want it more than reading your friend's post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those other social media outlets. If you want more wisdom, you got to think about that more than you do what happened to your favorite sports team the night before or what's going on. If you want wisdom more than anything else, than your time with the Holy Spirit, think about that. Because time with the Holy Spirit is what will increase wisdom in your life.
That's right.
How do you get wisdom? Same way you get anything else. You ask for it, you seek it, and you pursue it every day.
Amen. In James 1:5 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly and without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him." Thank you, Lord.
There's no surprise. If you don't ask for it,
you're liable to not get it.
You won't get it.
That's it.
You won't get it.
James 4:2 in the New Living Translation says, "Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." Lots of places to go. Number two, plans. Being a winner in your marriage or on the job or in family relationships and investments and anything that you're pursuing doesn't just happen because you're a nice person or even because you're a Christian and love the Lord. You need to have a plan. As it says in Proverbs 16:3, this in the New Living Translation, you ought to read it in the Amplified, it's fabulous. "Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed." That is a tremendous promise to eliminate problems. How about that?
Good.
Each day is a gift for us, and what we're planning with this precious treasure is really
our gift to God.
Our gift to God, and one that taking and making the best of what I want to say, maybe put it this way, taking the time God's given us and making the best of it. So we are the only ones who can decide to maximize our time and effectiveness in our day. And when it comes to our attitude, not another day, another dollar, you know, getting up and do. But if we're really planning on turning our finances into abundance and turning our average life into one of excellence, if we don't know don't like where we are right now, chances are we don't know something yet, which leads us right back to the Word of God. So what's our plan to move from just, you know, average to soaring, right? We need to ask God to show us daily what we are to do. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail." So we need to know His purpose. And when we know His purpose, we will prevail. So here's what we suggest. First, we can seek the Lord in His wisdom and understanding and favor, like it says in Psalm 20, verse 4 in the New Living Translation. "May He grant you your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed."
Next. Seek out those who can best help you with a plan to move out of your personal wilderness and to the promised land.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:22, New Living Translation. "Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success."
Amen.
God's a planner.
And we should be too. If we want to be a winner in every area of life, then we need to stick with God. And He'll stick with us, right?
That's it.
We need to put it in God's hands and be listening.
Number three, priorities. Winners continually think about their priorities.
Yeah.
As born-again believers, we should do no less. And let me say, too, those priorities are not always written in stone because they'll change as circumstances change, as demands change.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be flexible to do it, following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Is what we need to do. In fact, our priority as a believer can be summed up one verse.
That's it.
Matthew 6:33.
Amen.
"Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I think it's important to note the spiritual progression in this verse.
And truly, even before we do that, if you read all the scriptures up to this, you know, you'll get an even fuller, but we want to go through the spiritual progression of Matthew 6:33.
Number one, seek ye first.
Amen. Number two, the kingdom of God.
Number three, His righteousness.
Number four, and then, and this is, of course, after you put God first.
You can underline this in the verse, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So you got it. Number five, all.
Number six,
that means
these
everything.
Everything.
And number seven, shall be added unto you.
So it's a progression.
It is a progression, spiritual progression.
Contemporary version of Matthew 6:33 says, concludes by saying, then the other things will be yours as well.
I like that.
Yes, amen.
I like that.
Number four, money. When it comes to money, we need to think before we earn it, spend it, save it, invest it, hopefully not waste it or give it. So let's cover the basics, right? Money is neither good or bad. We've said this for years. Because money is going to do what the person who controls it determines it for whatever its destiny is going to be. It determines its destiny. If we have money, if you spend your money properly, providing for your family and supporting your church, and then you're prospering the kingdom of God. If you're using it to reach unbelievers with the gospel, you're advancing God's kingdom. However, if money is used for evil purposes, then the money is working for the kingdom of darkness. I mean, it's really just that simple. Money is letting what's inside of you come out. So when a person receives money, what lives in them is going to be what they spend their money on. Because it's not how you spend the money you have determining whether money does good or bad things. It's who you are, and that's what determines really whether money is being spent for good or bad things. Money gives us freedom.
Yes,
freedom
it does.
To decide what it is that we want to do. And then, you know, that's what determines what's really inside of our hearts. So it's important to think about how we spend our money before we spend our money, and make sure we've counted the cost.
And recognizing, first off, it's not our money.
That's true.
It's God's money.
It's what's been
entrusted.
We've taught
that numerous times.
That's true.
It all belongs to Him. We're just a steward.
That is it. In Luke 14:28, in the New Living Version, it says, if one of you wanted to build a large building, you would sit down first and think of how much money it would take to build it, if you would see you had enough money to finish it.
Number five, time.
Time.
As a boy, I was fascinated by The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. It, the thought of traveling not only through time zones but time periods intrigued me. It was a great book. I enjoyed reading it. Then later I saw a movie called The Time Machine with Rod Taylor, if I remember right.
Wow.
Tells you the kind of impression it made on me. But I was intrigued by that. You know, as I've celebrated each birthday since my 60th birthday, I've become more conscious of time, wanting to make sure that I create memories that will last a lifetime with you.
Thank you.
And with our babies and our grandchildren. You know, I think a lot more about how I use time. Psalm 90:12, Contemporary English Version. Teach us to use wisely all the time we have. And you remember a while ago I talked about reassessing priorities?
Mm.
It used to be a specific number of TV shows that I would record and watch, fast-forwarding through commercials. That number has been dramatically reduced because there are more things that I want to do.
Amen.
And I'm doing more things in some areas, some of which I like to rearrange. But anyhow, be that as it may. Yeah, I think the scripture in Psalms is saying that we should truly number, take charge of, and plan to use our days wisely.
Amen.
So we recommend that you make a list each night of what you need to accomplish the next day. Assign a priority to each task. Every day we're given a precious gift. And I'm not talking about money, gold, silver, real estate, but something far more valuable. Each day, the beginning of each day, we're the recipient of 86,400 seconds. 86,400 seconds of another day of life. The only restriction is that we have to spend it, invest it, or use it. There's no rollover plan for time. Be nice if it was. Well, there's not. We need to use each day wisely before midnight, or it's gone forever. I want to share with you the next scripture on your outline. It's what I consider a wild scripture.
Amen.
About using God's wisdom to increase our lives. Proverbs 9:11, classic amplified. For by me, wisdom from God, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased.
Now that's a fabulous promise.
Wisdom from God.
Mm-hmm. Increases Hallelujah. Your life.
Life increased. Days multiplied.
Amen.
Years multiplied. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a thing. I know that aggravates the devil.
And yeah. I like it.
And I like it too.
Amen. Amen. Number six, problem solving. Everyone, unfortunately, but it's true, everyone faces problems. The difference between a winner and a, we like to say non-winner, instead of winners and losers, right?
Yeah.
The difference between a winner and a non-loser
I've
in
never
life,
lost anything. There have been times that I didn't win, but I didn't lose.
Hmm.
Remember that, Clay.
And comes down to what we think about, the way we think about our problems. And then what we do about our problems.
Yes.
And we always call problems opportunities anyway.
That's it.
It's opportunity to overcome. So here are seven ways that every problem solver should think about that problem. Number one, what you think about a problem will determine whether or not you believe you can solve it. Dr. Robert Schuller once said, again and again, the impossible problem is solved when we see that the problem is only a tough decision waiting to be made. So there's wisdom in that. Number two, you must recognize you can't solve your problems, but you may not be able to solve your problems, but God can. One or the other of you.
And this I love is, this next scripture.
It's another wow scripture right here for us to bring home and make personal. Psalm 34:19. I've always loved Psalm 34. This in the New Century Version says, people who do what is right may have many problems, but the Lord will solve them all. It's all in an attitude.
That's it.
And number three, take your problems to God no one else to God. And he really should be first choice, not last resort.
Now, right? Brother Wonderful and sister Marvelous down at the Tabernacle.
That's it.
Not your best friend. Take it to God first.
God knows things we don't know.
Because his answers are always right.
And the Psalm 142:2 directs us in that. Psalm 142:2 in the New Century Version says, I pour out my problems to him, I tell him my troubles.
That confirms it. We pour our problems out
yes,
to him.
That's it.
Not anybody else, mm-hmm. but to him.
And he directs our path. Exodus 18:19 in the New International Reader's Version says this, listen to me, I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must speak to God for the people, take their problems to him. So when we have problems or people have problems and come to us for problems, sometimes when people come to me and say, I'd like your advice, I go, okay, Lord, I mean under my breath, you know, in my mind, in my spirit, I go, Lord, this is for you, you know, because I don't know, but God does know. Wow. And number four, you must learn to solve small problems if you ever want to be given the opportunity to solve bigger problems. And problems are just really opportunities to show ourselves capable of making correct decisions. In 1 Corinthians 6:2 in the Contemporary English Version, it says, don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Now that's an awesome thought. And if you are going to judge the world, can't you settle small problems? The Lord is constantly building our character through the troubles that we have and the problems that we solve.
You're going to be able to solve small problems to be given bigger problems to solve.
That's it.
It's like Brother Hagin said, if you can't believe God to heal a headache, how are you going to believe him to heal cancer?
That's it. Start small, live big. And number five, problems help us build endurance and stick-to-itiveness. In Romans 5, verse 3 in the New Living Translation, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. You know, if we could get the thought in our mind and understand the thought and, you know, the intent of us running into opportunities, it would be much easier to be able to face them and overcome them. It is a test of our character to see whether we're going to rely on God. And there's so many scriptures to back that up. Number six, when you become a problem solver, you become more requested in the kingdom of God and truthfully in the world also. In Daniel 5, verse 12, Contemporary English Version, it says, he also changed the man's name from Daniel to Belshazzar. Not only is he wise and intelligent, but he can explain dreams and riddles and solve difficult problems. Send for Daniel and he will tell you what the writing means. What did Daniel always do when he was faced with a problem? He prayed and asked God for wisdom. Number seven, when you solve problems, you receive rewards. Daniel 5:16 in the Contemporary English Version continues, but I have been told that you understand everything. How about that? And that you can solve difficult problems. But then, if you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will become the third most powerful man in my kingdom. You will wear purple royal robes and have a gold chain around your neck. So problem solving leads to success. Albert Einstein once said, the significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. That's called evolution into what God's bringing us about and allowing us to happen in our lives. Changing the way we think will help us to solve problems because we are growing line upon line, precept upon precept. Growing every day. And if we're growing every day, then we're more equipped to be able to handle what's coming our way. Thank you, Lord.
Number seven, attitude. Here are seven keys that we need to be thinking about, that every winner thinks about, every scripturally balanced and spiritually successful believer thinks about. Number one, have a never give up attitude. Here are several reasons why you should never think about giving up. 2 Corinthians 4:8, Contemporary English Version. We often suffer, but we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. Luke 18:1, in the New Living Translation. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Romans 12:11, Contemporary English Version. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. And I think the last one, is really important. Psalm 71:14, Contemporary English Version. I will never give up hope or stop praising you. That's how you overcome problems, by praising Him.
That's true.
Really true.
Staying in the Word. Number two says, never let your victories or successes go to your head. We need to remember why we are who we are.
And where we are.
And where we are. And who gave us life, eternal and abundant, along with a vision for our future. Because if we can continually remember and honor God for all that He's done for us, not lose sight and think that it was us, then we'll always keep our victories and in a proper and a spiritual, that's the important part, a spiritual perspective. In Deuteronomy 26:11, it says in the New Living Translation, afterward you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration.
Number three, never let failure go to your heart.
That's right. Never let victory go to your head.
Failure to your heart. Over the years, I've had a number of people refer to themselves as failures without realizing the spiritual impact of such an incorrect confession. They don't realize it. As I've said for 20 years, failure is an event. It's not who you are.
That's right.
When you try something and it doesn't work, it doesn't make you a failure. It just means you need to try something else that may well work. And sometimes when people look at you, they think that you failed. And there's a number of stories I could tell you about that. But let me just ask you this, and we've shared this before. Have you ever used 409, the cleaner? You know why it's called 409? Because the first 408 times did not work.
That's right.
You read about the Model T with Henry Ford? The reason it's a Model T, because A through S didn't work. WD-40? First 39 didn't work. Number 40 did. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of other examples.
That's right.
In fact, I may do a teaching one day where I just list everything like that. I think that'd be encouraging.
You'd be going on forever.
I know.
There's a lot of people out there who've tried.
Here's the point. Never internalize your lack of success or condemn yourself for trying something that didn't work.
That's right.
Never do that. Never internalize your lack of success or condemn yourself for trying something that didn't work. Dr. George Washington Carver once said, if you never read his biography, I encourage you to do so.
It's a good one.
He said 99% of failures come from people who have a habit of making excuses.
You don't try, you know, if you think that you just can't do it. Number four, never get hardening of the attitude. You've heard of hardening of the arteries. Well, there's also hardening of the attitudes. Never give up on people or ideas. You know, if you try an idea and it doesn't work, then work on perfecting the idea until it does work. Or, and this is the hard part sometimes, if someone betrays your confidence, don't give up on people. Just ask your Heavenly Father to help you massage through this and find someone that you can really trust.
And to forgive that person who did that to you.
Yes, exactly.
Save them.
Yeah. If something doesn't work, we just keep trying to find something that will work. Keeping our attitude positive, and of course, we could go back to the never giving up. But persistence and steadfastness, and never allowing the enemy to harden our heart, and he's the one who wants to do it, then, you know, it will keep us working toward the possibilities of success that God is sending our way. He wants us to succeed.
Number five, never allow your spirit to become anemic. The best way to keep your attitude fresh, vibrant, positive, and full of life is by spending time in the Word and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you get mentally drained, feel lifeless, you have unlimited access to the greatest energy drink of all time.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you're feeling anemic, you need a fresh transfusion of power in the blood.
That's it.
It's like the mosquito that bit me and flew away singing, "There's power in the blood."
Yep. And number six, never think you did it alone.
Wow.
You know, the one key that we can think about is the fact that if it weren't for God, we would not be breathing, we would not be thinking, we would not even be living.
It's true.
Because God gives us everything to start with. So we need to remember who brought us to the dance, as my husband likes to say, or really how we got what we've got and who gives us what we've got. In Romans 12:3, in the Message Bible, it says, "I'm speaking to you out of a debt of gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living them as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you." The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. So we need to always remember, it's quite where the rubber meets the road, which is the Message Bible. We need to remember who gave us the opportunity to be successful, and that's really the Lord. We can be proud of the accomplishments He's done through us, but it's Him getting the glory. In 2 Corinthians 2:12 in the New Living Translation, it says, "When I came to the city of Troas," this is Paul speaking, Apostle Paul, "to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me." God never quits opening doors.
Number seven, never doubt for a moment.
Yes.
That He's thinking about you, your future, your success, and all the things that are possible to you if you but believe. We want you to plant this thought deeply in your heart. God is thinking about you right now.
Think of that.
Right now. Not only thinking about you, He's watching you. He's got His eye upon you right now. So when we wake up in the morning, He knows what we're thinking about. He knows how we're setting our sails for the day.
Amen.
S-A-I-L-S. He understands that. That's what He's doing. And listen, there are times when you may feel like nobody thought you or knew you were alive. Maybe that includes your family. But it's not true, because your Heavenly Father is thinking about you all the time.
Amen.
Listen, this confirms what I just said. Psalm 40:17, the Living Bible. "I am poor and weak, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now." Hallelujah.
What an amazing thought. Yeah. And we have doors of opportunity, don't we?
We do. We're going to talk about that in just a second. There's not one living soul on planet Earth.
That's right.
That God doesn't know about.
Not one
living soul. You're here for a purpose.
Yes.
If you don't know it, find it. Talk to Him. He'll direct you. And a lot of that begins on how you greet each new day. The best thing, what's that old commercial, best thing you wake up in the morning? Folgers, something like that. Folgers coffee. Never would be for me. I don't drink coffee. But anyhow, the best thing is to have a mental, spiritual attitude adjustment about the kind of day you expect to have.
Amen.
About the opportunities you're going to see. Maybe even create your own confession that you can make it happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And praise the Lord.
Amen. That's the end of the teaching, but don't go anywhere. Stay with us. We just did that in 28 and a half minutes. And let me tell you why that's important. About 10 days ago, Bev and I, we met with someone that is president of a TV station to pray with him. And in the course of that conversation, he renewed an offer he made to us years ago. And that is, that he would record and do let us have a program, probably on Sunday night, as a seed into our ministry.
Hallelujah.
But in order for that to come about, we need to cut down the length of our Sunday night programs.
To 28 and a half minutes.
28 and a half minutes.
We're practicing.
That's why this teaching originally was 500 more words than it ended up being. Because
we're working on it.
You know, I went back over it and we determined we were going to start trying to get it to 28 and a half minutes. We sent an email out this past week about the opportunity we've got. We're going to need a new backdrop. Probably we'll need to, we may even rearrange how we sit in this room.
Right.
Maybe do some other things.
Yeah, we need some other upgrades.
Some upgrades to it.
But?
So we need to change, get some backdrops. We need some new equipment camera equipment, some other electronic toys that Stephen knows all about. And we'll let him figure all that out. And then we get a lot of requests for CDs and DVDs, and we also give a lot away. Years ago, we have what's called a master plan. It's a 64-page book, and Stephen converted into a CD-ROM.
For us,
and
yes.
Where all you need to do is put your numbers in, it does the calculating for you. And when you finish, you know exactly the day, the month, and the year. You'll be debt free.
Hallelujah.
And I've given away, we started selling it initially at $50 each, but now when I go to churches, I just give it away to everybody there. I think next time I'll tell them I want a dollar, because if you don't have money in something, it doesn't mean anything to you. But anyhow, that's the plan.
Well, you do it as you're led.
I do it as I'm led.
I mean, not maybe every time, but as you're led.
As I'm led. I have them with me in case I feel led.
And
sometimes I don't, but most of the time I do. So, you want to add anything to that?
Not to that. Mm-mm.
Okay. One more request.
Yes.
Abby, our oldest daughter, her husband's name, Chris. He left just after lunch today to fly to Morocco. And he's going to be there for 3 weeks. Chris, if you don't know, he's finishing up his dissertation this year. And probably a year from now, he'll be Dr. Christopher Lee Prejean, with a degree in ancient biblical languages. He is fluent in reading and writing Arabic. And the university has this trip that he's going on along with another professor. But that can be a dangerous part of the world. So if you would, for the next 3 weeks and even beyond that, pray that the how many angels did you put around him?
I put 10.
10 warrior angels. Warrior angels around him.
That's what I felt.
And be lifting Chris up in prayer.
Yeah.
Protection for him and for his family.
Yes.
You know, Abby is not only a mother, a wife.
Two adorable girls.
Two of the prettiest grandsugars you've ever seen in your life. No offense to anybody else's grandsugars. Not taking it. Don't take it personal. But she's also a pastor of women at Church on the Way.
Yes.
So she's got a lot
on her plate.
She does. Anyhow. And I didn't mention this, not just last week, week before now, I believe. But our friends Randy and Laurel just celebrated their anniversary.
Amen.
Great friends of ours in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Used to travel to different places.
And help us out all the time.
When I was ministering up near Chicago where they lived for a season of their lives. And they drive to Milwaukee, they drive other places, run the book table for me, do things like that. Good people.
Yes.
Good people. Well, not only good teaching, but great news. The Lord opened this door of opportunity.
Yeah, it was blessed.
And when he first mentioned it to us, was just before the enemy attacked my health with breast cancer. And the timing wasn't right. And we believe the timing's right.
We've been praying, about it.
That's what we're going to do.
All right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Mom and Dad are not here, so I'm going to say hi to you at home.
Yes.
Listen, everybody who tunes in, we love you. We appreciate you.
We do.
Make sure you join us each morning. Rich Sauce for Breakfast. If you can't listen to it live at 8:30, listen to the playback. It's a great way to begin your day. If you're, you know, if you want to think about right things in the morning, listen to Rich Sauce for Breakfast.
Amen.
Because we give attitude adjustments based on the Word of God.
That's right.
That's what we do. Amen.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, go to the top where it says sow a seed. And maybe even ask God if He'd have you sow a special seed for this door of opportunity that's open for us. That'd be a real blessing. Just do what God tells you. It's all we ever ask.
That's it, right.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern. I better stop. I'm feeling it coming on.
Go for it.
We love you. We do. We do not want you living in mediocrity.
That's right.
We do not want you beyond what God would have you live.
That's right.
So how you begin the day, what you think about, the things that you think on, will determine the difference between where you are and where you can be.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's just that simple. It is. Till tomorrow morning, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.